We're going to spend a few minutes talking about Abram. Abram and faith. And we're going to look in, excuse me, chapters 12 and 13 of the book of Genesis. Abram is one of the major, one of the most important single characters in all of Scripture. He sets the prototype. He sets the first example of faith. Not the first example, I shouldn't say that, because Noah showed faith. But Abraham, or Abram, demonstrates to us faith as God would have it, as he would want us to duplicate, for us to emulate. Very important man, and there are many chapters devoted to the man Abram, as we shall spend a little bit of time in only two of those chapters in Genesis. We need faith to overcome this world and to achieve triumph, to have triumph. Faith is the key. It is the central thing that must exist in our lives. It's an interesting thing. People react differently to what God's Word has to say. It's very individual, very personal. One person hears His Word and shows little interest or curiosity or a desire to know more, and another person listens to God's Word and is enveloped by it, curious, wants to learn more, wants to know more, wants to know God. And no one can have your faith for you. It is your personal, individual choice. It is up to each one of us to respond to what God says, and we will be held personally accountable to what God says on an individual basis. I can't have faith for someone else, and they can't have it for me. And faith is one of the joyous, most joyous aspects of life. Putting our faith in the invisible God, knowing that He is trustworthy, always true, always keeps His promises, and always we can confide in. The man Abram, the name Abram, means exalted father, exalted father. He is not renamed as Abraham until chapter 17 and verse 5. Abraham means father of a multitude. So Abram means exalted father. Abraham means father of a multitude. And he is not referred to as Abraham until chapter 17 and verse 5. Now the events that preceded Abram were important because, as we know, after creation, by the time Genesis 6 rolls around, you have mankind has degenerated into gross and terrible idolatry and sinfulness in so many different ways. And God sends a flood, a universal flood upon the earth. And in doing so, he destroys all life on earth that lived on the land, except for Noah, his wife, their three sons, and the three wives of Noah's sons. But as soon as the flood receded, as it ended, man didn't waste much time going back to the very depths that they had been in prior to the flood. You know, people don't learn very well, do they? People are slow to learn reality from the past, from history. Because after the flood, you have the Tower of Babel, which was a vain attempt at unity, but God didn't want them unified as an unredeemed, unsaved people. He wanted to disperse them, and so He confused the languages. It was God who intentionally caused the people to divide by giving different groups different languages, and they could no longer communicate. Therefore, each group with its own language went and settled in areas that they would prosper in. Which explains, of course, why we have many different languages today. But after the Tower of Babel, you have a return to idolatry again. You have people going downhill again into a terrible condition, spiritual condition. And in chapter 12 of Genesis, we are introduced to, actually chapter 11 and chapter 12, we are introduced to a man named Terah, who is the father of Abram. Let me read at the end of chapter 11. Now these are the records of the generations of Terah. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. And we learn of Lot later. Lot was a nephew of Abram's. Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of his birth, in Ur of the Chaldeans. Abram and Nahor took wives for themselves. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Iscah. Sarai was barren. She had no child. By the way, Sarai, who later is renamed Sarah, Sarai has the same father as Abram. However, they have different mothers, so they are stepbrother and sister to each other. That's important to remember to understand what happens later in Abram's life. So Abram and Sarai, later to be named Abraham and Sarah, are related to each other as half-brother, half-sister, or stepbrother, stepsister. They had the same father, but different mothers, and they marry. Now, Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his grandson, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. And they went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans in order to enter the land of Canaan. And they went as far as Haran and settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And of course Gary read verses after that. So we see the start of this man, Abram. He comes from a family where idolatry is practiced. His father was an idolater, and idolatry was a part of the culture in which they lived, and it influenced the family in which he grew up. Why was Abram different from the others when God spoke? I don't know. I don't know. He just believed what God had to say in ways that others did not. This is so important for us to see. He believed and others didn't. And that's what God calls upon every individual to do, is to make a decision. Are you going to believe me? God is asking. Are you going to believe what I say? Or are you not? He's out of Haran. He had to get away from the halfway point, the compromise point, the past. If you look on a map, and we don't have a map in front of us, but Ur of the Chaldees is kind of off to the east next to the Euphrates River. And they traveled from Ur kind of northwest, and then they travel south, and they go through the Promised Land. And later on in his life, he goes to Egypt, and then he comes back again. There is a traveling thing going on here with Abram, and he's responding to the will of God. The Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There's nothing magical or mystical about faith. If you have an open, honest heart and you read His Word, the Bible, God will bless you with faith. Your faith, your response to His Word is to say, I'm reading these words, and they're not just words on a piece of paper. These are words God has given to be recorded for me. And that's what Paul is telling the Romans. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Faith obeys. Faith obeys. When you have the kind of faith that Abram had, you hear what God says, and your basic response is, all right, Lord, tell me what you want me to do. And that's what Abram did. He was told to get up and go, and he got up and went. That's what he did. It's really not terribly complicated. When God speaks, and He has through His Word, our response is, God, I will obey. I will do what you say you want done. That's faith. Now, faith can be intellectual for a while, but the kind of faith that God is looking for is beyond intellectual. It is action. It is a response. And the reason this is so important is because when you obey God's word, you are showing to God, you're proving to God, I trust what you say. I trust what you say. Until you obey what God says, it's all intellectual. It's all theory. It's academic. But when you read what God has to say to you and you say, I will do what you tell me to do, that proves to God that you trust Him. You trust Him. And when you trust someone, what do? You put your life in their hands and know that they will care and take care of you. And that's what faith does. Abram's start was in idolatry, and he leaves his family. Let me stress this point here. We're still on the first point. Sometimes faith is going to call upon you and going to call upon me to make choices which take us away from the nearest and dearest people there are to us. Family might want to stand in our way, but our first calling is to what God says. What He says. Now, this is repeated through Scripture. There are a number of instances of this. But whether it be family or friends or associates or neighbors, none of them have priority over what God has to say. And sometimes our choices by faith are serious choices, are very serious choices to listen to what He says and say, Lord, all of these voices around me are telling me this, are telling me that, but I trust what you say. I trust what you say, and I will do as you tell me to do. This is so important for us to see. No matter how people may try to persuade you or to pull you away or to dissuade you away from God, even if they are well-intentioned, many times people are very well-intentioned. They think, you're just not seeing clearly on this. But no matter how well-intentioned, if you know God has spoken in His Word, and it applies to you, and you need to respond, then obey Him. Obey Him by faith. Faith obeys. obedience is the core of faith. Don't keep lingering in the old way thinking, yeah, but I've got to give up this and I've got to give up that. I've got these things that mean so much to me. When God speaks, when he tells us what his will is, we are to do what he says to do. Now, don't be rash, don't be shallow, don't be silly and foolish. Count the cost. Jesus tells us to count the cost. Count the cost if you're going to follow Jesus and be his disciple. Be serious. Look at this is what it'll cost. And then be willing to pay the cost. Because the outcome of the event far outweighs all of the short-term difficulties. Far outweighs. So don't be rash, don't be shallow, but do know that God is fully worthy of our trust. Second point, his destination. Genesis 12 and verse 5. Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his nephew and all their possessions which they had accumulated and the persons which they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. They went forth to Canaan. This was a long journey, hundreds of miles. This was not a half an hour walk. Look where Ur of the Chaldees was on your map, and I would encourage you to do that. Look where Ur was, and then look where Haran was, and then look where Canaan was. This was a long journey. You know, this is kind of unrelated to the lesson, but Selma and I were talking on the way down. We're talking about the baptism of Jesus. And why was Jesus baptized? It was to fulfill all righteousness. Do you know, when he walked to meet up with John to be baptized by John, it was not a little half an hour walk. He walked several hours to fulfill all righteousness, to do the will of the Father. He walked a long distance over several hours just to do this, to be baptized by John. Such was the obedience of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Isn't that nice? Isn't that good? So here we have Abram. He went forth to Canaan, and this land would be given to his descendants. Thank you to my wife for the tea, the second cup of tea this morning. It was to be a Canaan land of blessing. We must always keep the long view, the destination in front of us. If you want to walk by faith, always look down the road, long distance. The problem is many people only look at what's right in front of them. And when they see an obstacle, they think, well, this is just too tough. Or, this is not the will of God, because if this was the will of God, this obstacle wouldn't be in front of me. Always keep the long view. When you walk by faith, as Abram did, you look down the road a long distance. A long distance. And as you're going down that road, you stumble, you make mistakes, you face difficulties and obstacles and loss. But you keep your eyes upon the long goal. And many people don't do that. I heard my grandmother used to say that when her husband was teaching her to drive, we're going back a long, long ways, many, many decades, She said that he told her, when you're driving, look way down the road. Keep your eye on what's going on down the road, because you need to see what's down the road long distance to help you drive now. Doesn't mean you don't face things right here immediately, but it's a little bit similar to the idea of walking by faith. Don't lean on your own understanding. Abram's destination was in his view. It was in his heart. He saw it by faith. He saw it by faith. When you see things by faith, you see the invisible. That sounds like a contradiction, but it's not. We see things that other people cannot see. Why? Because God has spoken and we believe what he says, and we know his promises are true, and therefore we see the long journey. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean to your own understanding. I don't have the answers. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Oh, I love those verses. I love those verses. When Jesus went to the cross, he tells us that the way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. Number three, his worship. His worship. He's given a land, chapter 12 and verse 7. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. He built an altar. There are times when Abram would build an altar, and it was his way of, he was worshiping God. It was an expression of his appreciation for God and what God had done and was doing and would do. When Abram went to Egypt, he made a big mistake. But after Egypt, in chapter 14, he builds another altar in chapter 14:4. And then in 14:18, he progresses in his spiritual life, building an altar. An altar worship is founded on sacrifice. Sacrifice. Sacrifice has to take place. Do you sacrifice in your worship to God? Do you sacrifice in worship to him? Let me give you some verses to think about. They're random, but they're not random, okay? Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? His point is this: if God would not stop short of giving his son, what makes you think that he will stop short at giving you everything else that you need? If he gave his very best, his son, then he's willing to give you anything that you need. Romans 8, verse 32. Look in Hebrews 9, 13 and 14. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, Cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 14 through 16. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. You know, one of the things about people who walk by faith is they stop being impressed with all of the things that impress the world. They stop getting impressed by all of the silliness and the shallowness. Hollywood. What nonsense. Celebrity. What silliness. Jesus, our God in heaven, he is eternal. He is important. He is everything to us. Number four, we see his weakness, Abram's weakness, chapter 12, verse 10. Now there was a famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. It came about when he came near to Egypt that he said to Sarai his wife, "See now, I know that you are a beautiful woman, and when the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say that you are my sister so that it may go well with me because of you and that I may live on account of you." Here he is fearful, cowardly, and he makes a big mistake. He tells a truth to hide another truth because they were brother and sister, half brother and sister. So he wants to emphasize that part of their relationship to cover up the fact that they were married. And sometimes people do that. Did you know you can deceive somebody with the truth? You can actually tell a lie with a truth? That's what happens here. Because he deceives Pharaoh into thinking something that's not true by telling a truth. But it was designed to cover up, to conceal another truth that he did not want revealed. So he compromised with Sarai. And due to his fear and his selfishness and his hypocrisy, others are hurt. And it causes Pharaoh great angst because Pharaoh begins to feel the effects of this arrangement. And eventually he gets sent away. That is, Abram gets sent away. Here's what I would say about faith. Feed your faith. Feed it regularly. Every day, feed your faith. Treat it with care. It's like light and sun and air and water is needed for a plant. Your faith and my faith needs to be fed and nurtured and grown. And if we keep our hearts open and honest and receptive to God's word, he will continually feed our faith. And don't put yourself in compromising situations that would cause you to make decisions and say things that would not be helpful to that situation. Faith must and will be tested. Your faith, my faith, will be tested. God has a right to test our faith. He has a right to test our faith to see if it's real. And he does it. And if you haven't been tested yet, in a serious way, you will be. I guarantee it, about 9 times out of 4, it happens. Number 5, his vision. Look at chapter 13, verses 14, 15, and 16. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, I will give it to you and to your descendants forever. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can also be numbered. Arise, walk about the land through its length and breadth, for I will give it to you. Then Abram moved his tent and came and dwelt by the oaks of Mamre, which are in Hebron. And there he built an altar to the Lord. The Lord told Abram to look. He looks at this. And, you know, the encounter with Lot was their herds were too great to mingle together. So Abram tells Lot, choose which land you want. Lot looks at the lush, beautiful land where Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain were. And it was very inviting. I mean, logic would tell you, wow, that's going to be a great place to live and prosper. And we know the end story in that case. A few chapters later, something happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. What Lot chose, Abram said, okay, I'll take the other one. Abram was making a choice by faith. Lot was making a choice by sight. See? And notice the great difference in outcome. Lot saw the outward. He saw the plains of the Jordan. Lot was inclined to the physical, to the self-will. Abram inclined to the Lord's direction. So, what have we seen here? We've seen Abram's faith. We've looked at different aspects of it from the start until the very end of this particular thing. We're not through with Abram by any means. But at this point, we see this man demonstrating to us an example of faith. Faith that saves is the faith that obeys. Faith that saves is the faith that obeys. Have you obeyed God? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. Do you have faith? Are you willing to do what God says, no matter what everybody around you says? You're invited to respond to the gospel.
902, please stand. What can wash away my sin?